You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Repack, presented by Acme Packing Company. I'm Jess Mosqueda. I'm joined here by Evan Tex Western. Say what's up to the people, Tex.
What's up, everybody? It's been a little long break with this bye week, man.
It happened too late. Rodgers talked about it with McAfee, and he was like, you know, I kind of wish we had like two bye weeks. The weird off weeks are so odd because it's not just 1 week. You're going 14 days without a game. Right.
Yeah. So, well, and I was saying before we got on that, I had to miss the post Eagles game podcast for some personal stuff. And so it's been like 3.5 weeks or something since we've actually done one of these together, you and me, which is feels crazy since the Titans game. So nice to do it after a win again, though.
Packers win 24-12. Los Angeles Rams aren't competing for anything at this point. I mean, they're just out here. What, getting their steps in? What else are they doing? They don't have a draft pick, right? They don't have playoff prospects this year.
No, nope.
just kind of playing football games for the fun of it.
Playing out the string, man. That's all you can do when you're in that position. And like half their players are on injured reserve. They're basically their entire offensive line, their quarterback, their top receiver, their best defensive player. Like, it's a rough way to go for Rams fans this year, but it's not that rough. You guys just won the Super Bowl, so
yeah, good for you. You guys can deal with it. The Packers had 27 first downs compared to the Rams' 13. Offensive yards, 345 compared to the Rams' 156. That's not including the fact Keyshawn Nixon had another 100-yard return game. What is that, his fourth in a row now,
I believe? I think so. That sounds right.
I looked up because someone had asked and been like, who was the last guy to have – 3 100-yard return games in a row. I think it was like 5 times in Packers history or something. So you would assume maybe a handful of names, but like, this is as good of a returner as we've ever seen in Green Bay. I mean, Rodgers said it was the first time in his 18 years in Green Bay that anyone kicked away from the returner purposely. They kicked it to the upback on one of the kickoffs. Like,
what can he
do wrong?
It's definitely the first time that I can think of since like maybe Allen Rossum in like 2000 or something like that. And certainly like you go a little farther back and the Desmond Howard years, you know, 96 was a little bit of a different story. But yeah, certainly in the Rodgers era and even going back, you know, to the latter half of the Favre era, there was nothing like this. And he had another like 50-yarder that got called back because of a BS holding penalty on Jonathan Garvin. Like, he should have had 200 return yards in this game.
Yeah. I have this looked up right now. In terms of the count, I don't have the streaks on me right now, but 8 players in Packers history had ever had 4 100-yard return games in a single season. That was what Keyshawn Nixon did.
Holy crap.
Now he's at 5. You nailed it on the head. Allen Rossum, 2000. Was the last guy to have at least 5 in a single season. Again, we're not talking about a stretch.
In a row, right?
We're talking about just happened during a season. The other guys are Steve Odom, Travis Williams, and Dave Hampton. I believe Steve Odom was the last guy to have 4 in a row. That was 1975. And now Nixon's had 5. So, I mean, that knocks off him. I would have to look at Travis Williams and Dave Hampton. But those are the only two possibilities of guys who, in franchise history, have had a stretch like Keyshawn Nixon is having right now. And that was probably different kickoff rules, too, where it was moved back and, you know, kind of incentivized the returns and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, Travis Williams is, you know, one of the names from the latter end of the Lombardi era, right? Like, I think 67 was his big kind of breakout year.
Nailed it. Look at this guy.
Dude, I don't know why. Every once in a while, like sometimes I'm on it with some of this stuff. But yeah, Travis was great, and I, but it's just such a weird dynamic to have on this team. This Packers team that's had guys like what Jeremy Ross and DeJuan Harris and Trevor Davis returning kicks for years, and now all of a sudden there's a legitimate weapon. And it's still really, really, it still begs the question, why did it take until they cut Amari Rodgers, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was, for them to make this switch? And I loved LaFleur even said, like, we didn't know what we had in this guy. We had no idea that he could be this kind of a spark plug. And I mean, you saw it, 3 straight possessions the Packers started in Rams territory, a couple of those because of returns. So yeah, it makes a huge difference too when you've got an offense that is still pretty inconsistent. If you can set them up on short fields, that makes a huge difference, I think.
And one of the things I really liked about the LaFleur era when he got here, right, was he was willing to ride with a hot hand, right? That's where you start seeing like guys like Alan Lazard develop in situations that Alan Lazard probably certainly wouldn't have developed into this with most other teams. He might, maybe doesn't even get on the field, right? And then it felt like we kind of started seeing that kind of going away. I mean, Rich, like Bisaccia, the special teams coordinator, like, was it like 2 weeks before Amari got cut? He was like, we're not going to shit can the guy just because he's making mistakes. And it's like, well, then when are you going to give a guy like Keyshawn Nixon a shot? And I mean, in this era of the NFL, I talked about this with Mina Kimes on the preview podcast, but like, how much of a look are you actually getting at these guys in practice situations? Because punt return, kick return, like those are very physical plays, right? I mean, how many of these are like Nixon's breaking a tackle before the other stuff starts, right? And in practice that gets whistled down, right? So like, you're not going full contact in practice. And I'm not saying that you should, like that's not a winning formula at the NFL level. Everyone recognizes that, like, but just try them out. What's wrong with trying guys out? Like Devontae Wyatt today had back-to-back plays in the backfield. Let him keep playing.
Where was that? Like you said, ride the hot hand, man. I
he's a first round pick. In the pregame, they're talking about, Aaron Rodgers. Is he going to demand a trade? Is he going to be back next year? They spent 2 picks on defenders and they didn't give him any help at wide receiver. And I'm like, the wide receiver is making, like the wide receiver pick cost them more than those first round picks did with the way that they ended up trading up. And now it looks great. Sure. Like all fall on that sword. That's totally fine with me. I enjoy having Christian Watson on this football team. You can't make me feel bad about that. but like Devontae Wyatt, like he was a high draft pick. Play him. It's not like the other guy, like Dean Lowry, was it? Dean, I don't know if he was even on the field. Like I wouldn't have been able to tell the difference. And then Reed had got held on one play. Yeah. That was the highlights of their combined nights.
Yeah, and then he like made a tackle the play after he got held for like a 4-yard gain on 2nd and 22 or something. So yeah, okay, good for you. I actually the only reason I noticed Lowry on the field was in the first half. At one point, I thought that they were in base and they had a Kenny Clark, TJ Slayton, Dean Lowry line out for like 1st and 2nd down. I was like, okay, this is progress. And then I realized they were just a nickel and it was Slayton and Lowry. And I'm just like, okay, that's less exciting. Like, give me Kenny and TJ on the field together, please.
Yeah.
What is it going to take other than, shit canning Joe Barry?
Yeah. And I mean, the roster construction is kind of getting weird now too, especially at the end of the season. Cause now, I mean, this team is kind of, and we've been talking about this for damn near a month now because of all the losses, but they're at a fork in the road right now where it's like, are you making the playoff push or are we trying to keep contracts, to roll over to next year? Right. And, they released Sammy Watkins ahead of the game so that they could promote Patrick Taylor. Patrick Taylor actually ended up getting a couple carries because AJ Dillon, I think, was getting evaluated for a concussion. I don't think there's been an update there. And then Aaron Jones. I don't know why I wanted to call him AJ. I guess it's Aaron Jones and then AJ Dillon. Oh my goodness. I felt like I had a stroke right there. Aaron Jones is obviously, he's just banged up. He's been banged up for a while. Yep. He's been dealing with what is it, like glute and shin in knee injury, all sorts of stuff. So Patrick Taylor got a couple reps. He's been mostly, you know, a special teams guy for them, but the back end of the roster is going to be interesting because you end up getting into the situations where, like, you're looking at their healthy scratches right now, and like Jonathan Ford is there, but like, if they're not willing to play Slayton and Kenny Clark at the same time, what does Jonathan Ford do for the team next year if he's just going to be their third string nose tackle as a nose tackle only player behind two other nose tackle only players? Like, what does that do? I don't get it.
That's that brings a new definition to the term space eater, right? Like, he's just a cap space eater.
Yeah. But they got his contract through 2025 or whatever it may be. Like,
at least we saw flashes of Slayton last year, right? Like, he got into games, he made a couple of plays here and there. He didn't play a lot, but you know, that's to be expected from a fifth round pick. At least we saw some signs, and he was at least active on game day. We don't have anything from Ford.
I mean, Ford was getting out snapped in the preseason by Heflin, who's now cut from the practice squad, and the other Slayton that we haven't heard from since August. Yep. So, yeah. The other guys who are healthy scratches in this game, Caleb Jones, who just came off the NFI, he's been battling mono recently. He's pretty clearly like a contract stash. I think he's a guy. I think they said that he's down like 40 pounds from what he weighed in at the combine. Yeah, they talked about that. I think about that today.
And he was down, and he was down at the combine from where he was in college. Like, he has, has he dropped like 100 pounds in the last 2.5 years?
Dude, maybe. Like, but he kind of looks half decent. I mean, I didn't watch him that much in college. Tyler, you know, the Indiana fan, had seen more of him than anyone, and he was like, dude, that guy can't play. And now loses all the weight, looks a little bit better. Chris Barnes, another scratch. He's kind of funky because he was a scratch in their last game against the Bears too. Isaiah McDuffie actually came into the game for a couple snaps for Quay Walker. Don't know what happened there. I don't know if it was an injury. If it was, he wasn't off the field for very long. Maybe they just pulled him because he did the wrong thing, but at least worth noting, you know, Isaiah McDuffie jumped him, you know, on the depth chart, and that seems to be kind of a long-term thing. I would assume Barnes comes in, like any of those guys who work on punt protection, right? Any of those inside linebackers, tight end, whatever it may be, like, he's the next guy to get called up. And then Shamar John Charles, again, he hasn't been on the field since the Washington game. He was dealing with an injury for a while, but he just hasn't returned. I had forgotten that Corey Ballantyne had replaced him. I forgot Ballantyne was even on the team until there were some special teams playing.
He was the upback who fielded the kick when they kicked it short. Yeah.
I'd forgotten about him. So those were the inactives, plus David Bakhtiari, who's obviously dealing with the appendectomy that happened on the Friday of the Bears game. Hopefully he can return to the field soon. I mean, it doesn't seem like they have really any indication on what that's going to look like. Like LaFleur said earlier in the week, like, he's a long shot to play. He doesn't really need a practice to play. Like, we'd seen that throughout the year. Minkah Fitzpatrick is an example of a guy who returned, I think, like a week to the day from an appendectomy, but like, I don't know if it's like different for a tackle than a safety. Like, I have no idea. I told Mina about this too. I just learned, like, your appendix is like the size of your pinky.
It's a tiny little thing, man, and it's crazy that something that small can literally kill you if you don't catch it quickly.
It just explodes.
Yeah, I had a very good friend of mine in college who had an emergency appendectomy while studying abroad in a, you know, not super developed country, and it was it was a terrifying experience for her. So, she came through it okay. Like, it was fine, but yeah, it's no joke. So it's a crazy thing. And yeah, the recovery, I imagine it's very individualized, right? Like, I don't know that you can even,
I mean,
predict.
It's your guts.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way, like, there's a lot of stuff going in there and you can't really see it. So,
yeah. And there's weird things, like people react to anesthesia differently. And like, there's all sorts of like this crazy stuff with, you know, big surgeries like that can play into it too. So, you know, who the hell knows? You know, it'd be nice if somehow he could go against Miami and, you know, we'd get a Bakhtiari Bradley Chubb matchup.
I think I like four pass rushers too, which is,
yeah.
Remember, I mean, Bradley Chubb was a guy that they added mid season. Then they have, I'm spacing on his name, the kid who got drafted out of UCLA. I'll look it up right now. Jalen Phillips. He was UCLA, right, and then went to Miami. They have Melvin Ingram coming off of the bench. Like, they got some guys there. And then, you know, the interior, Christian Wilkins and Raekwon Davis. Like, I don't know. Should be a little bit worried about this mm-hmm. team. I believe the Packers are 4-point dogs on the road in Miami on Christmas Day. Reminder, Christmas Day, not only Christmas Day, Christmas morning for those of us on the West Coast. Oh, my goodness. I hope Joe Barry doesn't ruin Christmas. Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur both basically said, like, the media kind of try, and I don't mean, like, hashtag the media. I'm just saying, like, the beat reporters. The beat reporters try to get him to say some version of, like, you know, let's run the table, right? Something like that. And they're just both like,
they want the quote, right?
Yeah,
they want the quote to latch onto.
And both of them were like, I don't know, we just beat two teams that we should have beaten, and we're about to play three better teams, right? So it's funny because they also ask, like, is Miami the biggest game? And it's like, from here on out, like, the biggest game is the next game. Like, it's win or go home for the most part. 538 right now. Which, by the way, 538, not so high on the Packers compared to, you look at the ESPN playoff machine thing, and then I believe the New York Times one too. I think they're both a little higher on Green Bay. The Packers have an 8% chance to make the playoffs. If they beat the Miami Dolphins, that goes up to 20. If they lose, it drops all the way down to 1. So, like, technically there is a chance, but we're already at the point. Tex and I have created the shorthand of you need Seattle to lose 1, you need Washington to lose 2, and then Green Bay to win out. That's what we're rooting for as it stands today. If Green Bay loses against Miami, I am no longer mentally keeping track of what needs to happen for them to get into the playoffs, because so many things have to break right that it's just feasibly not going to happen.
Yeah. At that point, and I'll have to look at the numbers a little bit, but I do think that there's at least an elimination possibility if the Packers lose to Miami next week. So just depending on, you know, how Seattle and Washington and, you know, those other teams shake out. But yeah, that's pretty much it. There's like weird tiebreaker stuff with the Lions. If somehow both teams end up at 9-8, that, like, it could come down to a strength of victory tiebreaker between the Packers and the Lions. But like in like 90% of the scenarios, the Packers end up winning that tiebreaker.
Yeah,
so
they're
all sorts of games. Yeah. Have to go really, you know, a whole bunch of them have to go really wrong for the Packers to not get that, that head to head tiebreaker against the Lions, assuming the Packers win out. Right.
Yeah. The Packers' strength of schedule would help them there, and it hurts them in draft position. If that makes sense to anyone. Currently 6-8, so they're picking 14 right now. They're tied with, you know, the Raiders, Jaguars, Browns, and Steelers. You know, potentially they could have picked as high as 10, but it didn't really matter. It was a weird thing, because if they would have been 5-9, they wouldn't have moved off of that 10 spot, which is what they came into the game in terms of draft order, just because of how the strength of schedule works. So, like, a loss wouldn't have impacted their draft position at all, whereas a win, now we're at the 14 spot, you know, just breathing right behind the Seattle Seahawks and stuff. So their strength of schedule is very good. If you play around on 538, again, I just use it because it's the easiest. If you guys want to use the Times or ESPN, it probably gives them a higher percentage. But if the Packers went out as it stands today, the projection is that 68% chance they end up making the playoffs. So could happen. And
yeah,
I don't know. Are we that scared of Miami? We've seen Tua, like, even that Buffalo game, like, some of that stuff is Tua, man. And then Detroit, I think they could probably beat Detroit. Can they beat the Vikings? I think they could beat the Vikings. Will they? I don't know. They got to play the games, but it's possible.
To be honest, the game that I think I feel the best about the Packers winning down the stretch right now,
the Vikings,
it's the Minnesota game. It absolutely is the Minnesota game.
They're frauds. 100%. They were down 30 to the Colts.
Yeah. No, that's I don't care what anybody says. That's not a good team. No. They're going to win the division, but or they won the division, but that is not a good team. And they're going to be one and done. I think I'm picking whoever they play in the wild card round. Anybody you know, who ends up, you know, if it's Washington or Green Bay or Detroit or whatever,
Washington,
I'm picking them
Minnesota,
to go into, I'm picking that road team to go into Minnesota and win whatever it is.
Washington, Minnesota screams under in the playoffs. 100%. I wanted to bring up just the NFC landscape real quick. So we talked about the Vikings. How many of these teams are we worried about? We beat Dallas. There goes one.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia, now Jalen Hurts is hurt. His shoulder's banged up. I mean, who knows how long that can last? There was that weird rumor that he had broken his collarbone. I had talked to someone who would know before that stuff came out, and I even put it in the APC Slack, and I was like, Jalen Hurts is, like, hurt, and the line is moved. I was trying to bet Patrick Mahomes MVP odds, and they took it off of DraftKings. And I was like, oh, crap, they know too, so it's no secret. It sounds like – and they said it's not a serious injury. Like, dude, any injury that keeps a quarterback off of the field at the NFL level is a serious – they told us all summer Matthew Stafford's injury was nothing to worry about. It doesn't matter that he hasn't been able to throw a football for 3 months. It's not a big deal. Hurts' injury might last up until the playoffs. So I think Hurts is probably going to come back for the playoffs at the very least. He might come back before then, but has the possibility of lasting until then. So if that doesn't count as a significant injury, do whatever you need, you know, whatever appeases you. They basically wrapped up the division anyway, so it's not like Gardner Minshew wasn't going to get snaps at the end of the season anyway. But, like, the Niners got Brock Purdy. Like, hurt Jalen Hurts, a Cowboys team we've already beat, Brock Purdy, the fraud Minnesota Vikings. And then after that, it's like, we don't even know who's going to be in the playoffs. So,
You're looking Giants, Commanders, Seahawks, Lions as your other possible
Giants who
playoff,
like,
teams here.
They have to get, like, three turnovers on the 1 yard line for us to lose to them. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. This just, it's funny looking at the NFC and the AFC because I'm like,
oh, God.
There, it is so different.
Yep.
Like, now with the Hurts injury, obviously, right? Which is a whole other thing besides, like, team talent. But, like, the AFC is so much better than the NFC this year. God. Like, if the Packers, I could see the Packers doing some dumb run where they, like, it could be 2016, right? Where it's just like they played against the Falcons in the NFC Championship game. And it's like, wow, that was really dumb. We don't deserve being here. And then, like, the loss doesn't even hurt. Like, I could see something like that if they sneak into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. This could be, like, I'm trying to think of a good, like, comparison. I don't know. Maybe, like, the 94 Chargers when they somehow made it to the Super Bowl against the Steve Young Niners when he finally got the monkey off his back. And everybody knows that, you know, that Chargers team had no business being on the same field as the 49ers that year. Like, that scenario is not, you know, not impossible for this Packers team at this point.
So what are you rooting for at this point? Because for me, it's just watchability, really.
Oh, chaos. Yeah. I enjoy chaos in all its forms in sports as far as, like, my team is not concerned. Like, we just finished up the World Cup yesterday. You know, I was pulling for Morocco to make the final because that would have been hilarious. Just everything that can possibly go wrong, you know, go wrong, right? So, you know, AFC, what? We got probably Bills, Chiefs, Bengals are your top three realistic contenders. Like, I think it would be hilarious if, like, somehow the Dolphins ended up, you know, if the Packers don't beat the Dolphins, right? If the Dolphins somehow get in and just Mike McDaniel, you know, pulls a rabbit out of his butt and they make a run to the playoffs, to the Super Bowl, I think that'd be hilarious. So, just give me entertaining football and chaos. And I'll be pretty happy, at least, again, as far as everybody other than Packers is concerned.
The other thing, look, it's not a Super Bowl ring, but I think the closest thing to a Super Bowl ring without winning a Super Bowl ring would feel like Packers early season collapse, Minnesota Vikings surging in a fraudulent way, Vikings fans pointing at us the entire season saying, Look at us. You're just talking like you're only saying we're frauds because we have a better record than you. Us sneaking into the playoffs and beating them in their dome stadium. Right? That's what would feel closest to a Super Bowl victory that isn't a actual Super Bowl victory, right?
That would be so wonderful to have.
I would
count
the season as a win. Yeah. Honestly. I'm like, look, who gives a damn?
beating McCarthy in his return to Green Bay, and then, you know, knocking the Vikings out of the playoffs after, you know, a crap season when we had to scrape and claw our way into the playoffs. Hell yeah, that'd be a blast.
Two more notes. Mason Crosby, he tied the consecutive games mark with Brett Favre, you know, franchise history, and then Aaron Jones, third all time in franchise rushing yards. We had looked up the numbers in the APC Slack. He will be staying at third all time. He will retire whenever he leaves the Packers. He will be third all time. He does have a chance, though, to move up to second all time in terms of rushing touchdowns. He's just so far behind Amon Green and Jim Taylor in the all time rushing yards mark that unless he plays until he's like 35, especially with the fact that like they don't really like, he's a smaller guy, so they don't feed him in the same way that those guys were fed. Like, he's not moving up from three. But
and props to our buddy John Meerdink for identifying. He's the only player in Packers history who has more than 1,000 rushing yards in their career and has a yards per carry greater than 5. The fact that he has sustained that level of consistency and efficiency on the ground, especially in this day and age, right, is pretty incredible. So, He's been a lot of fun to watch. It's been great having him around, and you know, it's good to happen to a nicer dude. So I'm hoping that maybe, you know, maybe he ends up at least as like a finalist for the Walter Payton Man of the Year award too, because he is the Packers nominee for that award.
Back to back nominee for it too. Yeah, he does it. I talked to him for what was it? It wasn't an article. It was for the podcast one time. And yeah, I mean, he just does so much for his community in El Paso and stuff like that too. And everyone knows the story about his dad and all that stuff, and just seems like a great guy. Yep. He should be a Pro Bowler. I'm really going to be disappointed if he's not. I don't think that he's going to be, based off of the way that the results for the polls had come out like midway through the voting. Jair Alexander, not Jalen. I don't know why I got him mixed up. Was announced as, you know, a Pro Bowl nominee during the game. The rest of them are going to come out on Wednesday. I kind of think Jair is going to be the only one. Like, he was the only guy voted top five at his position during like the mid voting release that they had. So unless Keyshawn Nixon had a surge at the end, I just kind of assume it's just going to be him. But this year from Jones, like, this is the most, because some of those Devontae years were really good, but outside of like peak Devontae, like the most impactful offensive skill player I've seen in Green Bay, like he was the offense for a very long period of time.
Yeah. Really until the Watson breakout, but a month and a half ago, right? Like he was the engine that did that really drove this team. And I mean, another 120, 130 yard game today total between passing or rushing and receiving. So, I mean, he's still getting it done. You know, even with Watson and Dobbs both kind of, you know, having a little bit of production together with the two of them. So it's fun. I know it's more, you know, it's more AJ Dillon weather. At least it feels that way right now. But, you know, the way that Jones can accelerate to the hole, you know, the way they're getting him used a little more on the outside with some of the pin and pull stuff. It's been a great wrinkle to see them, you know, adapt and embrace this season, and he's really benefited from it.
Yeah, if they just ran zone, I don't know how many of those early season games they could have come out and ended up winning. Like the fact that it's in zone, he's a slasher, and then on these gap plays, I mean, if you can get him on the edge, like anything, literally anything can happen. So
yeah,
just a really good player. Let's take a break, and then we'll get into vibe checks.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And we're back. All right, offensive side of the ball. Romeo Doubs came back from the high ankle sprain. First time he's played since the first offensive snap against the Detroit Lions in that first matchup this year. Aaron Rodgers.
Doesn't that game feel like that was a lifetime ago?
Forever.
Like
forever ago.
I don't mean to interrupt, but yeah, that's a whole, yeah, that feels like that was a year ago.
Literally pre-Christian Watson.
I was talking to my fiance today, and we were talking about the rookie receivers, and she's like, well, you know, you've got Watson, but Doubs is a veteran. I'm like, no, Doubs is a rookie. We just forgot about him because he hasn't played for like what feels like, you know, 8 months. So yeah.
Rodgers went 7 for 7 for 91 yards when they were both on the field today. That's good to see. 20 for 24 the entire season, which kind of puts it in perspective, right? I mean, yeah. They've basically not been on the field together. A third of their receptions or a third of the completions when they were on the field together happened today. They doubled it, right? More than doubled it even. So
yeah,
we have something to look forward to, at least next season. Who knows what happens at tight end? I think that's probably the biggest question mark on the offense going into 2023. But at wide receiver, it kind of feels like we have this figured out. And
It was interesting to see kind of how they used the two guys too, right? Like Doubs was a little more of that possession guy, used him on a couple of those quick outs early to pick up first downs. And then, you know,
it was over the middle where you're not taking a hit. You're not taking the Randall Cobb hit on third down.
Yeah. And then, you know, Watson doing his thing with kind of stretching the defense with his speed. A couple of those, kind of leak plays, the one where he lined up on the wing and leaked out, on third down. And just kind of beating this guy to the corner, and then some of those crossing routes where he can really use his speed to stretch horizontally. I think that's, you've got a little bit of a blueprint for how you can work those guys together and complement each other a little bit.
That's the thing too that I think I talked about this with both Tyler and Mina, but like if they even need to add another wide receiver to the team, right? What does that even look like? Because Christian Watson has the speed. Doubs is the route runner. Like, aren't you almost better just like if all this stuff with Rodgers and the hand signals and all that stuff matters, like, aren't you better off just kind of running it back with a Lazard and or a Cobb? And like, it's going to drive people nuts if they don't take a wide receiver. But like, what if you took a tight end, Michael Meyer from Notre Dame, or you took another defender that would like help on, at the line of scrimmage, right? Like, wouldn't that be a better way to build this team than adding a 21-year-old wide receiver who has to go through the growing pains of learning all these hand signals and stuff like that? Like, we just went through the growing pains. Why would we add another guy into the mix to just kind of restart that progress, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I can certainly see adding a depth guy, you know, round 3, round 4, or something like that. But, you know, yeah, those high picks, it feels like the biggest bang for your buck is going to be at some of those other positions for sure.
That interception caused so much discourse, and then Rodgers, people arguing online, and then Rodgers immediately just in the press conference gets asked about it, and he's like, Yeah, Lazard thought one thing, I thought the other. It's like, yeah. It's, any rational person who would have seen that would have thought. I mean,
yeah.
I still think it was probably a mistake for the way Rodgers read it, because the way that ball was thrown, the intercepted pass, like, at best, at absolute best, that's a contested catch.
Yep.
Where when Lazard put the brakes down, like, he's wide open. No mm-hmm. one can touch him. So, I don't know. I bet Rodgers probably ends up wanting to have that one back. And he didn't sell out Lazard like he sold out some people recently. I mean, even the he talked about it in the presser, the play near the goal line where he signaled something. He, like, grabbed his elbow or something at Christian Watson, and Watson was blocking. He was supposed to end up catching a pass. Like, he kind of sold out Christian Watson on that one. So
I don't know. Maybe Aaron had the over in this game, because that might have cost a couple people.
Well, if he had the over, that goal, they shouldn't have gone,
gone for
the
knees
at the goal line. Like, that's the one that would hurt them. AJ Dillon, really good game from him. I thought it was funny. Rodgers was asked about it in the presser, and he was like, yeah, Dillon, like, he just is who he is. Like, he hasn't had any lows this season. I was watching a couple of those games, and my eyes told me that was when we started the whole Plodzilla thing.
Yeah. Like, it is funny, right? Because his production this year isn't that far off last year. I'm looking at it right now, and he's averaging basically exactly the same number of carries per game, 11 carries. And up until this game, he was averaging 48 yards a game compared to 47 last year. So the rushing production, is that maybe it's just that he's not being as effective as a receiver as he was last year, but it just doesn't feel like he's impacting games the same way he did last season.
He's had like two or three games that he's looked really good, and you're like, where the hell did that come from? But it's just like, and you could tell almost from like the first two carries that he gets in a game, like what type of game he's going to have.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like you have to like think of him as like almost like a boxer, where it's like you just start counting the hits and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, coming into the game, he got banged up in the game before. Like, maybe he's not going to be at full strength or something like that. But it just always feels random when he's going to have like this game.
And he's done it in down the stretch the last couple of years too. The Tennessee game as a rookie, you know, a couple last season, you know, in November and December. So, you know, maybe this really is Dillon time, you know, once you get into after Thanksgiving and the weather starts to turn and you get guys making business decisions. So, but yeah, I mean, three touchdowns and, you know, one touchdown each of the last three games for him. I mean, it definitely seems like he's turning it on. And like you said, like three or four good games, and it feels like two or three of them have been in these last three games for him.
It's going to be interesting to see what that backfield looks like going into Miami, right? Just because you are down a day of rest, right?
Yep.
Going into that game. And then Aaron Jones, I mean, is banged up. AJ Dillon he left with a concussion, right? Or concussion symptoms, getting evaluated for it. So it'll be interesting to see, like, what the participation looks like early in the week, because, I mean, maybe they were holding Jones out because they knew they had that turnaround against Miami and how important that Miami game is. And you look at the scoreboard and you look at the players across, you know, the sideline, and you're like, we probably don't need to exhaust Aaron Jones right now against this Rams team. Right. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what that looks like, but I'm definitely, if Jones is banged up in practice all week and Dillon is dealing with concussion protocol and stuff like that, I am still a little worried, even though Dillon had a great game, that, like, I don't know, can Dillon get it done against Miami, against that front?
I wouldn't even be surprised to see them bring in another running back on the practice squad, just in case, you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember now. Is Tyler Goodson still in the practice squad?
He is.
Is he still around? Okay. So maybe they don't need to bring another guy, but
they were bringing in guys last week, though.
That's right. Yeah.
They did bring in they brought in Mark Thompson from Florida, who's a USFL guy and stuff like that. Like, they're definitely looking at running backs and offensive linemen. I think the running backs, though, last week was probably – so the reason that they added Patrick Taylor to the 53-man roster is because his three elevations from the practice squad has already been exhausted for the season. So I think the running back thing was kind of them being like, can we get a guy onto the practice squad who we don't have to use for the 53 and, you know, keep Sammy Watkins and stuff like that? Because yeah. We're not getting rid of any of these damn rookies or draft picks that are healthy scratches. Like they, over their dead body, Goot says, I control the 53. Damn. Yeah. Yeah. Thought Zach Tom did pretty good.
For the most part.
Can't complain too much. He had one that I think is probably credited to him as a sack, but Rodgers bailed the pocket so fast and he got off the spot that like Zach Tom was trying to make the pass rusher run the hoop, right? That's what everyone always talks about it. Like if you're thinking of like the pocket, right? You want them running through the part of the pocket that you're also not protecting, but is like still a full hoop. Like just make him take the longest path to get to the quarterback. And Rodgers walked right into it and got sacked. So if that's the worst play a fourth round left tackle is going to make during a game, like
I can live with that.
I live with that every single time. Tom's a good player, man. I think him and Enagbare, those are the two guys where it's like, if they get a full summer in the weight room, man, like those guys can be real, very good players for them, not just next year, but like down the stretch. I think those guys can be kind of cornerstones for them.
Yeah. And then Enagbare had another sack today. I think that's up to three for him on the season. And then right after he had that sack, almost picked off the screen pass to Tyler Higbee. So,
which nice savvy little, play for a damn rookie. You usually don't see that.
Really nice flash from him. So nice to see that. And you mentioned Wyatt with a little bit of a flash too, with half a sack, which I think is his first entry in the stat sheet in the sack column this season. So.
And they had the TFL like right. Can't remember if it was right before.
I think it was the very first. Yeah, it was the TFL first, and then the sack split with Hollins on the very next play. Yeah. Give him more snaps.
Backtracking to the offense very quickly. Vibe check. They could have scored 30 if they wanted to. They could have scored 30. They are now what is it? Four of their last five, they've scored 28, which is the only times that they've scored 28 in the season, I believe. Rodgers still hasn't thrown for a 300-yard game this entire season, which is kind of hard to believe, but they're also going so slow. Like, what was it? The 2-minute warning in the first half was an hour into the game or something like that. Like, I mean, it's just flying by. The offense holds the ball for so long. I think their first three scoring drives were all 6-plus minutes long. Like, that's just who this team is. They want to keep the score down. You're not going to get the ops for Aaron Rodgers to be a 300-yard passer this season. I think in general, Dobbs looks good coming back. I think they're at the point now. The offensive line can sustain an injury. Backs are looking good. Rodgers is looking good for the most part. Like an 8? Is that fair? 7.5, 8?
I'm at a 7. I think, you know, if only because the Rams defense was so banged up. There's so many guys out that, you know, I think if they run into a truly elite
that line run defense, was surprising though.
Yeah.
That line was better than I thought. Like the Hoyt guy, I made fun of Mina for bringing up the fact that he's an Ivy League guy. Cause that was the first thing she pointed to. And I was like, get out of here. Cause I had to Google him during the Thursday night game against the Raiders. He looks actually pretty solid.
Yeah.
Also, they were like, Greg Gaines and Aaron Rodgers like work out together and they're friends. Greg Gaines, do you want to play in Green Bay?
Come down. Us up. Hell
You'd be the best defensive lineman Kenny Clark has ever played next to.
Gosh.
Good Lord. I guess he played next to Mike Daniels for a while.
Yeah.
That's unfair to Mike.
But I mean, back to the offense and the opportunities, right? Like the Packers won time of possession 37-23 in this game. And they still only ran 68 plays.
Yeah.
Like the time of possession thing and just the slow pace is very much real. But like you said, if they, you know, if it's not running out the clock to take three knees at the end of that game, they're trying to pound it in, you know, from the 1 yard line, probably get it. And, you know, we're sitting with another 30-point game. So, another encouraging performance. And I think at the very least, they should be able to put up some points on Miami next week. It's just a matter of, can they, keep anything close to a pace that Miami is going to score at, because I have very little faith in this defense to contain Tua and Tyreek and Waddle.
I'm not very confident in this defense in that game. You know, after the Bills game, because I thought, you know, they had kind of created a game plan. I can't remember who Miami played the week before. San Francisco. And San Francisco was just like, we're going to protect the middle of the field. And that's all we're going to do. And we're going to force Tua to throw deep and outside. And he just wasn't able to do it. And then you watch the Buffalo game and they just leave the middle of the field open. Waddle catches a slant, catch and run on that slippery turf and stuff like that. And it's like, dude, if he does that, they're screwed.
I was going to say, are you trying to tell me that the Packers have trouble defending the pass in the middle of the field?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And Amos. God damn it, Amos. God, at the halftime spaces, we were so excited. We were like, this is Amos's like best game of the season. Like, Amos doesn't look like he's running a 4.8. Then just has maybe not the worst half that he's had this season, but one of the worst halves he's had in the second half. And it's just like, all right, so we still need a safety. Like, he's still just going to be a marked man for the remainder of the season. I don't think he's going to be on the team next year, but.
No, it's funny to look at a defensive performance where, you know, the Packers give up 156 yards, 3.6 yards per play, and you still kind of feel like they were terrible.
They were not a good football team. All those third and longs that we ended up getting converted and stuff, like, that's not a good football team. We talked about the McDuffie sub. Rudy Ford started at safety for Darnell Savage. I think, I don't have the final numbers, but at one point, it was like midway through. It was one snap. Yeah, that's what I saw.
I saw somebody say one snap for Darnell Savage.
That guy's getting paid $8 million next year. It's fully guaranteed.
We
should have traded him at the deadline.
Oh my gosh. Like anything. Eat the cap, eat the money for next year. Like,
I mean, talking about if we didn't know what we had in the guy, I wish we would have known earlier. Like, if Rudy Ford gets that nod early in the season, like, we save ourselves $8 million next year, which goes a long way when you're talking about contracts that, you know, the cap hits are hit harder at the tail end than the front end, right? So, might need two safeties. Uh-huh. They roster six safeties, which is a Masaccia thing because they all play special teams and they're all crazy in that aspect. But, like, you still need some of these guys to play defense too. And it's like, coming back next year, I don't know how many, like, are we in Rudy Ford extension talks? I don't know if he's in the same boat as Nixon at this point, but, like, you might want to bring him back.
Mm-hmm. At the very least, like, you know, you got to offer the guy a 1 or 2 year deal, I think, at this point. Cause like you said, you can't keep playing Savage. Amos is almost certainly going to be gone. His contract is up anyway. So I
want to slander Ken Ingles very quickly. How dare you, Ken? How dare you? On Twitter.com, he suggested, because they had that weird contract conversion like 2 weeks ago with Dean Lowry.
Yeah. Right?
And he was like, well, if they haven't extended anyone yet, then maybe they're just looking to extend Dean Lowry in 2023.
Oh, my God.
How dare you, Ken? How dare you? Don't put that evil on us, man. Dean Lowry hasn't made a play this entire season. If he gets another contract out of this, I'll be flabbergasted. They do not have the margin of error to be dealing with dumb contracts like an extension of Dean Lowry. And I know Ken didn't mean that as like a praise of Dean or anything like that, but how dare you put that juju on this planet? If that happens, I'll be furious.
Dean Lowry has a half a sack this whole season.
Disgusting. How many TFLs does he have? It's like three. It has to be like three.
One. Not including the half
disgusting
sack. He has one.
He's played like 400 snaps for this team. And against a lot of runs. This team sees a lot of runs.
Oh my God.
Gross.
Ugh.
They don't have football players. They don't have NFL football players on their defensive line right now.
No.
And I know you guys don't want to hear it, but like, they need to draft another one. And yeah, they just drafted Devontae Wyatt. They still need another one. And Brissy, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Brissy's probably the second best interior lineman in this upcoming draft. The kid out of Clemson, he might return. So, and the top guy is Jalen Carter, the kid out of Georgia. He's going top three or four.
Top three.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to be in range to draft him. So I don't know if there's another. We've had some bad defensive tackle drafts. Like if they need a go grab a free agent defensive lineman. I don't know who's out there. Figure it out though.
Shuffle up the bonus on Kenny Clark's contract and make some room for somebody. Like you've
not Dean Lowry. Do not make room for Dean Lowry. Defense.
Can we, before we hit vibes, can we talk about Quay? We got to talk about Quay a little bit.
Roller coaster, like, dude.
Yeah, this is, we said at halftime, this was like the platonic ideal of a Quay Walker game because, you know, he has just bad run fits and then he makes, you know, just an incredible play on that sack, blitzing from off the ball. And then that pass breakup along the sideline that, you know, he shows that range and the size and the athletic ability, but somehow just like can't quite make the play. Like it was the perfect Quay Walker half in the first half.
Yeah. The inside linebackers are frustrating as hell. Because we're spending a lot of money not to be good there.
Yep.
Way too much.
Yeah.
Way too much.
Yeah.
And you can't really do anything about it either. I mean, like you're not going to change anything at inside backer. It's not like safety where, okay, Amos might go out. Like, we'll see if someone wants a Savage contract next offseason. Probably not.
Maybe. Unless you're moving Quay to the edge, like that's the only thing that, that you could possibly do, I think. So.
Well, I get I don't know, man. Like Green Bay might draft another edge rusher. Like that is really in the mix. Like you look at the draft board and how it shakes out, and it's like, yeah, it's going to be one of the edge rushers or like Michael Mayer, or maybe they finally go after that Quentin Johnson, that wide receiver from TCU, but I don't know. It's going to be a weird one this draft season. I don't want to get into it too deep, but defense. Well, oh, go ahead.
No, just that. As long as the playoff dreams are still alive, we can put that off for another week.
Yeah. Yeah. And how dare you guys root for the tank? I just don't ruin my Sundays, man. I'm going to be watching this Packers team on Christmas morning and it matters. And you guys wanted to take that away from me. How dare you? Defense, feel terrible about it. Like I'm feeling like a four. Yep. I know they only gave up like 150 yards.
I don't care.
Terrible defense.
That was the worst defensive performance that I think I've ever seen. They gave up like less than 200 yards and than like 15 points.
Even like there was that touchdown on Russell where Russell's just like standing there.
Yeah. What?
What the hell is going on here? Jim Leonard, watch. I'm very worried. I was told. Was it this week? No, it's Monday. Last week. I was told last week the team to watch out for Jim Leonard is not in the NFL. It's Illinois. Illinois wants to compete in football. They're willing to spend money. They just had their defensive coordinator hired off to Purdue. They were planning on making him the highest paid defensive coordinator in football. And they're looking for his replacement and don't really want to take a step down. He played for Brett Bielema his senior year. Brett's now the head coach at Illinois. So that's the team to watch. I heard Cleveland is in the mix too. Apparently that process. If you guys don't realize, like, guys, these guys don't get fired on Black Monday? And then, magically take the job after they had just heard that it opened. Like, they go through agents. There's communication between like mutual interests and stuff like that. The other team that has kind of reached out is the Cleveland Browns. So I don't know if he's actually going to consider them if Green Bay is on the table, but seems like the other option to bullet point is Illinois defensive coordinator. If they hire someone who is not named Jim Leonard, that's a good sign for the Packers.
Don't put that evil on me as a Wisconsin grad. Like I don't, nothing good can go to Brett Bielema as far as I'm concerned at Illinois. That's not acceptable.
That would be crazy if he left Wisconsin to become a DC in the same conference, right?
In the same conference at a lesser program in the same division. Like, no.
Well, for as long as divisions are
thing. For one more year, right?
How do you feel about divisions? I wrote about divisions in the context of the NFL on the site during the bye week. Do we still need them?
I don't think we need them.
What does What's the point of pride of I won the NFC South this year, this terrible NFC South, so I get to host a home playoff game? Like, does that even matter anymore?
Yeah. I don't think so. It's two functions, right? There's two reasons for it. One is just the regional rivalries. It's purely for rivalry games.
From a scheduling standpoint, you can keep doing that, right? Like in college football right now, they're talking about in the Big Ten and the SEC, all these conferences that have expanded so much that you can't really even have divisions anymore.
Yeah.
We'll call them pods and it'll be like, oh, you have three teams every year that you play. That's an NFL division. Right. So you could just do that from a scheduling purpose. Like we could keep playing the Bears twice a year. We could keep playing the Lions twice a year, Vikings twice a year. But if we all finished sub 500, our playoff spot would go to someone else in the NFC. I feel like that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
I feel like that's fair.
Yeah. And I was going to say that would be the only other argument for it, right? Is scheduling is especially when it was a 16 game schedule, the 32 teams, 8 divisions, 2 conferences. Made for a very elegant scheduling system. Now that you've added that 17th game, that throws a little bit of wackiness into the mix with that extra cross conference game. I think we've had enough instances in the last like 10 or 12 years of one division being just complete garbage and having a sub 500 team hosting a playoff game that I think I'm coming around to the idea of not rewarding that in a way that I hadn't before.
I think it's only going to get worse too with the, and this isn't me being against this like ideology, but like if teams are going to attempt to tank and like the hard rebuild and stuff like that, like you're going into, it's a loaded deck for some of these divisions compared to others. Right. And if that's happening by choice, like, how about we just open up the competition a little bit more if teams are going to start doing this? And if you want to keep the draft and all that stuff, like it's going to be hard to talk NFL owners out of getting rid of the draft, but like at least make the playoff race a little bit more fun. Like think about how wide open the bottom end of the NFC would be right now and how many more games we'd be paying attention to compared to just, okay, we have the shorthand where we root against for at least one game against Seattle and two against Washington, right? Like it'd be way more open. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe or maybe you do it in a way where only the top 3 division winners are guaranteed, right? Something like
that.
That's
fine with me too.
Do it that way. So,
then you're opening up. If you're sub 500, you shouldn't get to host a playoff game. Yeah. You were too bad at football to host a playoff game if you're sub 500. Yeah.
Well, and we're looking now that the AFC South is getting wonky too. We could have the South Division in both conferences. Yeah, you could have a sub 500 team in both conferences hosting a playoff game. So,
the Colts, I think, still technically have a shot at winning the South, which is,
oh my gosh,
just crazy.
0.2% according to 538.
Yeah, I think they're going to need a lot of help.
Oh my God.
It's still possible. Defense. Oh, did we already give grades? I said 4.
Yeah, we're 4s. Just, sweep it under the rug. And let's talk about Keyshawn Nixon for just another second before we get out of here.
Yeah, extend him. I think it was halftime in the Slack. And I was like, if Keyshawn Nixon walked up to me and was like, 2 years, $8 million, I'm like, cool, sign it right now.
Do it.
Like,
do it.
He's a nickel corner who's also a game changer in terms of being a return man. Like, okay, let's do that. Who's going to replace him next year? Like, Shamar John Charles? Like, he hasn't played in so long. Like, just lock down Nixon.
I think I saw, was he leading or was he almost leading the NFL in kickoff return average coming into this game? Like, I think he's up there. And obviously, the kickoff returns in the modern NFL is a weird thing anyway, with the way they've changed the rules and, you get so many touchbacks and everything anyways, but even that concept, right, after everything that we saw with Amari is just, it's exciting. And I also don't immediately have a heart attack when I see a return man take the ball out of the end zone anymore. This is weird. This is fun. Let's keep it going.
The only player with a higher return average with more returns, because you get these weird things where it's like CPAT, but he only returned 8 this year, right? Or stuff like that. only player who returned more for more yards so far is Kenny Nwangwo, the Vikings return man. By the way, Vikings special teams, it's crazy this year. They're really good at it, actually. It'll be an interesting thing to watch in 2 weeks, I guess. But the special teams, I feel really good about it. We thought it was funny. Rich Bisaccia was definitely going for a punt block the entire time during the game, which only makes what Nixon did today more impressive, because it's not like guys were blocking for him outside of the Gunners. I mean, it was 2-3 on 11, you know, return game basically for the most part, because they were trying to go after the punt block. Bisaccia definitely smelled blood in the water, definitely thought someone up front was a marked man. It was nice to see that, because, you know, a lot of times they end up returning those with Amari and it's just a fair catch. Now we can go after a punt block and actually get yards on a punt return. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice change of pace. I'm all in. Mason, nice game. You know, good job. Nothing weird on the place kick apparatus today. So that's a nice win.
How are the kickoffs? I can't remember really.
I think both teams were short most of the game. Because, the Rams didn't have anything that went in the end zone. So, or at least maybe they had one that went, like, to the goal line that he took out. But
that's the other thing about the Nixon returns. It's like, this dude is a psycho.
Yeah.
He literally will take it from the 1 yard line and just be like, no, I'm cool. I'll get it to the 30.
I want crazy people on my special teams. That's where you have to have those crazy, crazy guys. Like, we have to have a death wish.
Lock him up. Not in the killery lock him up. The actual, like, lock him up contract wise.
Yep.
I want to see him on the team next year.
For sure.
Special teams, like 7-8?
Yeah.
Probably 8. Yeah. Yeah. 8 because of the return team. Yeah.
For sure. I like it.
I can't believe 1 week ago people were complaining about Amari Rodgers getting a touchdown for the Houston Texans. I can't believe how short sighted are we that happened.
Again,
like five injuries had to happen for him to even get on the field for that Texans game.
That was exactly what I was going to say. The league. Yep. Yeah. They were down. They were down so many receivers for him to even get snaps. So no, let's not overthink this, guys.
Yeah. I'm happy we got this game after a week of, did we give Amari Rodgers a chance and Aaron Rodgers hand signals?
Yep.
Goodness gracious. The hand signals thing is so if you haven't Reddit, there's an article on The Athletic about, it's kind of like an oral history thing about Aaron Rodgers' hand signals and how it's hard for, you know, young wide receivers to get adopted to it and stuff like that. But we watched this in the Giants game. They knew one of his hand signals at the end on one of those goal line plays, and they ended up getting a tip at the line of scrimmage, and that ended up being the reason we have to root against the Washington Commanders for the rest of the season, right? Like, keeping that stuff secret is important. I know people who their job in college football, literally during the week, is to match hand signals to play concepts, and then they go into the booth during game time, and they're supposed to steal signals from the opposite sideline, and that's why they have those big old sheets and stuff like that in front of the signalers in college football now, so you don't steal them. Like, if you let teams steal your signals, they're going to steal your signals.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick filmed a practice at the Super Bowl. These guys are psychos. Like, don't give them anything. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
All right. Dolphins week. Hopefully Joe Barry doesn't ruin Christmas, right?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to be so mad if that's how I start my morning.
So my family generally does all our Christmas stuff on Christmas Eve. So my Christmas will take place before this game kicks off. So I'll one way or another, I'm going to, you know, have an enjoyable Christmas, assuming that, you know, we make it to Wisconsin safely with that giant, ridiculous storm coming through Thursday and Friday. So just everybody stay safe out there this week. If you're traveling, especially around the Midwest, and have a good holiday, and we'll look forward to talking to you. Maybe not Christmas Day, but probably
Christmas Day.
Yeah, we'll
the
we'll
day probably, after your ride home. Yeah,
We'll record on the 26th, and we'll talk to you after Miami.
Yeah, I got three Christmases to go to on Christmas Day, plus the game. So, 0% chance I'm going to want to record on Christmas Day. We'll do it the day after, and maybe give you guys some treats ahead of time. I think Tyler and I are going to record tomorrow about some NFL draft prospects that'll come out for the Intercepted show on Friday. Nice. So you guys can have that. We'll talk about a couple presents for 2023, hopefully.
Good deal. Fingers crossed. Go Pack Go.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.